And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now is just 1:30, and I'm joined on the line, as always at this time on a Monday, by Liam Horan. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Eden.
And before we talk careers, your reaction to yesterday's game?
I thought Mayo sailed close to the wind for a while, I thought Galway had their foot in their neck for a while, and if they'd taken one or two more chances, it could have made it very uncomfortable. But Mayo weathered the storm well thereafter and did what they had to do. And I suppose, really, while Mayo weren't by any means brilliant, you don't need to be brilliant in June, do you know what I mean? So they withstood a fairly serious Galway challenge and will take another big challenge, I'd say, against Roscommon as well, too. So that'll be better for them than cantering out of Connacht, I think.
Very good. Let's move to...
Assuming they get out of Connacht now. I'm not absolutely certain they'll beat Roscommon, by the way, so...
And just as a... Well, no, we won't talk about it today. We'll do it. We'll talk about it on another occasion. Two topics for discussion this evening, Liam. This from DD by email. You've written on a number of occasions. In fact, both questions I see are from DD. You've written on a number of occasions about portfolio careers. I think I may fall into that category. I work as an office manager for a medium-sized manufacturing firm 3 days a week, and the other 2 days I divide my time between playing in a band and doing some graphic design on a freelance basis. Plus, over the years, I have held many different types of part-time and full-time positions. I'm going for a job interview next week, and to be honest, I'm not sure, really sure I want it. What do you say to this person? I mean, I've never heard about that before. Portfolio careers.
Okay, I think in the printout, the two questions I've got a bit mashed up there. So,
oh, have they?
I can read the second part because I have a copy of the.
Yeah, please do.
The person talking about portfolio careers says, I'm about to leave my main job to move to an account manager role with an event management company. If I got that up, I'd have to give up my freelance design work. I can cope with that, they say, but what's causing them difficulty is how they should present their CV. I'm conscious that my career path isn't exactly straightforward, so any tips on that they're looking for. And that phrase, portfolio careers, we were talking about American phrases last week.
Yes.
There's another one that has come across the Atlantic. And it's for some people it's very useful to hear the phrase portfolio careers because it summarizes what they do. People traditionally thought that careers should be something you take on, like accounting or, you know, journalism or whatever you do upon leaving school, and you stay on a fixed path of that career until you change career, perhaps. And that was probably a more applicable model going back a lot of years now at this stage, whereas a more regular model is where people, first of all, change careers more regularly, and secondly, they have different careers at the same time. So if you look at this person here, they do some graphic design and they work as an office manager as well. So that would be a portfolio career, two things that are not obviously complementary going on at the same time. And for some people to realise that that's a very valid way of living their lives is a liberation of sorts, because they can still be haunted by this desire to find the one true faith, so to speak. And really, sometimes it's about accepting that it will be a little bit of this and a little bit of that as well going on. So that's the first point I'd make to this person. And their question is about how they should present their CV. And I can see why that would cause a problem. People with portfolio careers often struggle to offer a clear definition of what they actually do. And I think the main advice I'd give this listener is to focus on the audience you're speaking to, i.e. the job you're going for. What is that job? What have I got in my past experience that, you know, qualifies me for this job? Make that bigger in your CV. Focus on the skills needed for that job in your CV primarily. So don't make the employer do too much work to see what you can do. And you can confuse an employer very easily if, after talking about office management for three paragraphs, all of a sudden you're talking about being a DJ or a graphic designer. That might just be confusing for the office, for the employer in that case. So decide what your skill, what experience you have, you want to focus on in this CV. Give more to that. Put that stuff in earlier in your CV, and the other stuff can be included, but later on, after your main profile has been formed. So that's the first thing I would say: is you form your main profile as an office manager in the early parts of your CV, where you talk about your personal profile, talk about your key skills, key achievements, etc. Make those relative directly to the job you're going for is the first step, I would say.
But, you know, as well as that, there's a lot to be said for having a portfolio career. You know, the idea that you work as an office manager for 3 days a week and the remaining remainder of the week you're playing a band and you do some graphic design on a freelance basis. There's an awful lot to be said for that. And I suppose in the current Irish economy, many people are doing just exactly that. And it would be unfortunate if they were frowned upon by potential employers.
Absolutely. And for there's a great deal more of this than people realise. In fact, I would say west of the Shannon, because you have to do it to get by, a huge number of people are doing, have more portfolio careers, just don't have that name on it. I suppose what we're focusing on here, though, is when you're going for your next job, you need to make it as easy as possible for the employer to see what you're bringing to that company. So you can confuse them by mixing and matching too much. So I would say early on in your CV, you should put the focus where it is, while not disowning it later on, but don't make the employer thread a kind of an improbable career kind of quilt. You know what I mean? That's not exactly evident to them. Try and make it as easy as possible. But the second thing I would say, is, which is very important in this case, is what do you do? What do you do in your other careers? Or what about the fact that you have a portfolio career in the first place is useful to the next employer? And by that I mean somebody who's got a number of careers going on could argue that they're innovative, they can multitask, and these are all the buzzwords of employment. Innovative, they can multitask, they can time manage, and it may well show creativity, it may well show communication skills. So all of those things are of value, but you've got to make them of value in your CV. So if you're going to bring attention to the non-sort of primary work that you do for the next employer, you've got to tell them exactly why this is useful. You know, don't leave it to them to make that link. You've got to be very explicit in your CV. The fact that I combine three different careers proves that I have excellent time management skills. I have always maintained all three careers very effectively. And in fact, I believe that all three of them keep me fresh and creative, etc., etc., if you know what I mean. So that's the kind of language you should be using to make the employer see what value lies in it all.
In other words, you use your portfolio career to your very best advantage.
Absolutely, because if you don't, you'll be hiding something. And when you start hiding in a CV or hiding in an interview, skilled employers and recruiters are good at finding that. So own it, as the modern phrase goes. It's yours. Get the best out of it. Don't deny it. It is who you are. And, you know, the older you get, the more people are able to accept, well, you know, my life is a bit mix and gather, and I love that. And, you know, they defend that and say, well, I wouldn't like to have to give up that just to go on some other treadmill. So by all means, make it yours and don't hide it, and just make sure you get the value out of it.
Very good. And the second question this evening, and this I was getting confused earlier, this is by email from DD. I'm going for a job interview next week, and to be honest, I'm not really sure I want it. I've heard mixed reports about the company. The job is a step up from my current level with a different company, and I'm attracted by the prospect of going up the ladder. The money is significantly better too, but I can't really convince myself I want to work for this company. I suppose I'm between two minds. How should I approach this?
You must approach it in one mind, I would say. If you can't, you must go to the interview wanting the job. You can always decide afterwards that you don't want the job, but faint heart near one fair lady. So if you're going there, you know, wondering, sure, wait, we see how it goes, they will pick up on that, and it will take you want to be very, very skilled to make them want you when you haven't shown enough interest. So I would say go in there full-hearted. I have known really brilliant candidates who have struggled to persuade interview panels because they let some lingering doubt hold them back during the interview itself. You need to go in there very clear that I want this job. You know, there's time enough for counting when the dealing is done. Just because you say on the day you want the job doesn't mean you can't have a change of heart 3 days later when you're offered the job. But if you go in there hedging your bets, you will almost certainly not get the job. So why bother going in the first place? If you're not up for the job, contact them and say, I don't want this. But if there's a chance you might want it, go in and prove on the, you know, go in and do the best possible interview you can on the day. Lots of people were offered jobs and turned them down for very good reasons. The contract mightn't have stacked up, the conditions might have changed, something might have changed in their private lives, or as sometimes happens, they may have got a better offer from their own employer when the counter offer came from the new employer. So don't feel that you're absolutely bound to it. And if you continue to be half-hearted, I would withdraw from the race. I wouldn't use the interview as a kind of an exploratory exercise. Yes, I would use it as an exploratory exercise, but I would present myself on the day as a very serious candidate who's here. In fact, I did some work with a client last week who was in a rather similar position, and I had to give this very advice to them, saying, look, if you have some misgivings, they can be resolved later on. But on the day, you must be there, clear-headed about what you're going to bring to this company and all of that. Because if you don't, you won't get it anyway, so you're wasting your time going anyway.
And needless to say, an experienced interview board would probably identify the uncertainty.
Yes, and particularly if you leave it kind of very much out there. So interviews are a state of mind as well in terms of how you have prepared yourself for the day. You know, if you go in not for, it's like any undertaking you take. If Mayo went into Pier Stadium yesterday in some way not right, they would have been beaten by Galway. You know, Galway put up a very serious challenge, but they were right and they were able to withstand the challenge. And if you go in, but if they'd gone in half-hearted, they would have been beaten. And I would say the same about an interview or anything else you do, even if just to do some work around the house. If your heart is not in it, you won't stay the distance. So, you know, you must get yourself right to go in on the day, give the best possible account of yourself, make them want you. The purpose of an interview is to make them want you. Afterwards, the negotiation can come. And I would never confuse interview with negotiations. There's a line you cross when they make a commitment to you saying, we'd like to talk to you further about this. Then you move into negotiations, and only then should you express whatever misgivings you have or whatever conditions you want to attach. But in the interview, make them want you.
So, in other words, for DD, there are two choices, equally stark. Either one, withdraw from the interview, or in the alternative, set aside this uncertainty and attend the interview as though it's the only job in the world that you really, really want.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. I think in between is good for nobody. Not good for the interview panel and not good for DD.
Very good. We shall leave it there, Liam. Thank you very much indeed, as always, for joining us on the programme this evening. And, of course, we'll talk to you again on similar subjects this night week in or about 5:30.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
Good evening to you.